First of all, unlike my newfound friend here, nobody paid for me to come. I paid for me to come. So I'm going to say what I want to say. So I'm not owned by a university. I'm owned by myself. So I do represent the community. I'm in the community. I didn't get my PhD while on faculty at a university. I achieved it while I was yet working in the community. So I am a community advocate. I am a community person. I've been asked to come and talk about Project Grace and part of what the process is. And I promise you, there's only about five slides, so I won't get locked into slides. I think slides are a distraction. I just put them up there so you can realize I know how to make a couple slides. But really, I want to talk about the process. I want to talk a little bit about true equity between community and academia and what that should look like. So I'm going to just flip through the slides so you can see that there's actually a real project that's out there. These are the people who know more about it. Misha Nguyen is here to answer your questions. Dr. Giselle Corby-Smith is well known with community engagement. And we did it in a rural area, and I just published a paper about the idiosyncrasies of the rural community. I think it's different than the urban area, and so that paper is out there. Some of the issues that are there, the disease pattern, all this stuff that you know is different. That's why diseases are so prevalent in those areas. Those determinants are a little bit different. The framework is based on the attitudes and the experiences with capacity building. We've been in this project now for about 7 years and been able to do that. I'm going to get right through this because it's something I want to talk about. How do we get the people together? Well, you know, you can mail out letters to get people to come. But the best way, the most effective way we found is really by people word of mouth telling you about other people that's doing it, have a desire to do it. And then finally, what I want to talk about is this actual change process. And these group dynamics that you have to deal with when dealing with this. The multicultural process that I want to talk about is the in-between process between having a monoculture or and then going from there all the way to what we call pluralism or the whole idea of the salad bowl where everybody is kumbaya and everybody gets along. That's idealistic. The monoculture is this whole idea that one particular group is superior over another, i.e. the academia folk know more than the community folks, or the community folks know more than the academia folks. But the reality of it is that there's some balance in between. And we kind of dealt with that idea as we deal with power, privilege, and oppression. And this is a constant fight. This whole idea of monoculturalism where there's some elitism or there's some exclusion. Someone has all the answers. Research has all the answers because we've been researching for 20 years. Or this other idea, this salad bowl where everybody's included. Where we dealt with this process of multicultural change where we dealt with the four levels, which is personal. What is your belief? What is your belief? What is your attitude towards other people, other situations? And then we dealt with this interpersonal institutional. Now the idea of this personal, it's okay as long as it never manifests itself. And we realize that your personal beliefs will manifest itself. In group dynamics and a group setting, whatever you believe within your mind, eventually in an interpersonal setting, those beliefs are going to manifest. And they're going to manifest into some kind of behavioral practice. And so we were concerned about that as we came together with 35 organizations around HIV and from a sustainability perspective to keep people at the table. We knew we had to appeal to people's personal beliefs. And so instead of ignoring that, our concept was to include that, was to address that, to look at the differences in one's personality and one's belief and one's attitude and how that was going to play out in a setting. And then we wanted to know from an interpersonal perspective, what would the practice be? What would the behavior be? You know, will we spend all of our meeting times arguing? Will we spend our meeting times avoiding certain people? And then we wanted to know how we would be affected at the institutional level, the policy, the rules, and who would drive that train. In our particular case, it was the University of North Carolina was the main institution. Because they were the academic institution, would they set the rules? And that was a real concern of mine, because one of my proclivities is this whole idea of equity. Is there real equity between the community and the university? Because you write the grant, does that get to say you dictate the tenets of the grant? Are you just there to extrapolate data from folk who don't understand the process? And so I have a real issue, a real nuance when it comes to that. So we battle with that. So the first beginning of our project wasn't nice like everybody else's project. Our project was more of let's put it all on the table. And so we used three elements and been able to do this. Is first, we wanted to recognize differences. Most people try to ignore that, but we wanted to recognize differences. And then we wanted to understand differences. And then finally, we wanted to get to the level that we can appreciate differences. Now you say, what's the importance of that? First is most people look at similarities and they play to their strengths. And I believe that in doing that, you ignore things that pop up later in group dynamics, in organizational dynamics. So we recognize that there were some differences. We understand that there were some isms. We wrap ourselves around the target and non-target population. We talk about classism that exists. Because here's the reality. If I did a survey around this room, then most people in here, if you are academic, you make more money than most people in the community. So there is some classism. There is a lack of, and I understand culture humility, but I think we needed to move towards more of what I call culture acuity. Most of the people we are extrapolating data from or we are gaining data from are people that are at a different class level than we are. And so when we begin to talk to them, we have to develop a new language, a new what we call a tri-don, a language of both and as opposed to either or. In other words, when we're really dealing with people in the community, such as myself, people in the faith community, when they speak, does their language carry the same weight? Or are you just pacifying them in order to get what you need from them? And so those are some real concerns we have. We looked at this whole idea of recognizing that there are differences. There are differences in a rural community. You need to drink tea and lemonade with folks before you start talking to them about their health. You need to understand why they've been dipping snuff and doing some of the other things that are not acceptable medical practices, and you got to recognize that. But then more importantly, you have to understand why that takes place. That means you got to spend some time in the community. You got to do almost a longitudinal type study and being able to do that. And then finally, the true piece is do you really appreciate everybody that's in the group? Do you really appreciate what everybody brings to the table, even if it does not necessarily line up with the way that you've been trained, the way that you've been taught? And so in doing this for 7 years, to be honest, we've lost some groups along the way. We started out, and I know you wanted me to tell you that we all got together and it was hunky-dory, but that's not really how it happened. There was some battling going on over some money. There was some battling going over on the approach. There's some battling going over on the language that was used. So we use a process every year where we bring people together and allow them to tell their experiences with the process. How did you perceive it? What problems did you have? What would you change? Who do you think needs to be involved? And that opened up doors that become real issues. So I didn't want to take up a whole lot of your time this morning. I will accept your questions, but I want to let you know that anytime you come to the community, I ask that you do this. Is please appreciate the fact that if you didn't come, those people would be all right. We'll be all right. We have a place in heaven whether you come or don't come. You understand? So you need to understand that when you come to the community, it is a privilege to come out there, extrapolate data, and to work in partnership. Thank you, and I'll sit down and let somebody else talk.